Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
When Jesus said, "Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away," in Matthew 5:42, some take that to mean that we should never withhold money from someone who asks, and we should just give it to them. This is part of the Go the Second Mile sermon, or the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. But there are a few problems if we take Jesus' words that way. Certainly, if we are in the position of helping others, we should try to help them out. However, I don't believe that Jesus' statement is a blanket statement in all situations. Notice also that Jesus used the word borrow, which implies using for a while, but returning eventually. Now in Matthew 15:24, Jesus is met with a woman from Canaan. She asks for his help because her daughter was possessed with a demon. Well, at first, Jesus doesn't even respond to her, and his disciples urged him to send the woman away. His answer was simple and pointed. He said this in verse 24, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus is essentially saying he came to minister to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, calling them back to the truth. In other words, the things Jesus taught were primarily for Israel because they were based entirely on the law given to Moses, which had been given only to the nation of Israel. Jesus' comment from chapter 5:42 is based entirely on the Mosaic law as it applies to Jews. This is what Jesus was telling the woman. "It is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs," verse 26. Jesus was using a figure of speech to illustrate a point. He was not calling the woman a dog. The woman understood, and she provided a perfect, respectful response to him in return. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Verse 27, we can think in terms of little dogs as being puppies. Her faith and humility impressed our Lord, and he healed the woman's daughter in verse 28. Now, if we understand Jesus' ministry was primarily to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, then what he teaches in Matthew 5 makes a great deal more sense. He was essentially teaching and speaking to Jews. In Matthew 5, Jesus was reminding his fellow Jews that they were supposed to adhere to the Mosaic law. They were supposed to follow it. What did the Mosaic law command with respect to lending money to fellow Jews? Well, essentially, when they did so, they were not supposed to charge interest. Yet not only were many Jews charging interest when they loaned money to other Jews, but it was often to the point of usury, which can be excessive interest on a loan. Jesus was telling his fellow Jews, "Look, when you lend money to your Jewish brother, do not charge interest. Lend to them freely without the strings of interest or usury attached to it." That's basically what he was saying, and it was really that simple. So we need to go at it from that perspective. Except when Jesus' statements are pulled out of their cultural context and used as bats over people's heads, well, the meaning often becomes, hey, if someone needs anything, give it to them free of charge and don't expect it back. Yet this is not what Jesus meant. He was reiterating the Mosaic law. He wasn't telling us to live like socialists where everyone owns everything and no one owns anything. He was telling Jews to stop charging interest or usury when they chose to lend to another Jew based on the Mosaic law. Jesus was stressing grace regarding such lending, which was built into the Mosaic law because there is much grace throughout the law. Instead, Jews were making themselves rich and putting tremendous financial burdens on Jewish brethren whom they were lending money to. Jesus was reminding them that this was absolutely wrong according to the Mosaic law, and they should immediately cease and desist such practices in accordance with the law of Moses. Every problem Israel ever faced, every chastisement from the Lord, every judgment he rained down on them, was because Jews stopped following some portion of the Mosaic law. In essence, if you lent $50 to someone, expect only $50 back when the debtor is able to repay. That's what Jesus was saying. So what does this have to do with Nehemiah, as the title of this article and audio suggests? Quite a bit, actually. If you turn to Nehemiah 5, we learn that many Jews were under a tremendous financial burden created by their need to borrow money from other Jews. Now, this was just after Nehemiah and his crew finished building the wall around Jerusalem. And then he started to go through the society and help them figure things out for themselves. But he came across this problem. The lending Jews were charging such high interest that the lenders would never be able to dig themselves out of the financial woes. Verses 1 through 5 tell us the very sad story. Quote, "And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, 'We, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live.' There were also some who said, 'We have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine.' There were also those who said, 'We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have been bought into slavery. It's not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards.'" Wow, that's tragic. The borrowing Jews could not manage the debt they had incurred because the lending Jews were charging exorbitant rates of interest, expressly forbidden under the law of Moses. And you can read more about that in Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6, Leviticus 25, verses 35 through 46, and Deuteronomy 24, 10 through 13. I can almost hear Paul chiming in with the words, "Brothers, this ought not to be." So what was Nehemiah's response to this burdensome situation? Here it is in verses 6 through 8 of Nehemiah 5. Quote, "And I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said to them, 'Each of you is exacting usury from his brother.' So I called a great assembly against them, and I said to them, 'According to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us?'" Nehemiah's reaction is one of righteous anger, and he remonstrated against those Jews who had created such heavy financial burdens for their Jewish brethren. But what he said next is the main reason for his anger. He said this in verse 9, "What you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies?" Well, that's really interesting. Nehemiah is saying two things here. First, why weren't the Jews who were lending to their fellow Jews not walking in the fear of the Lord? Meaning, why weren't they obeying the Mosaic covenant and the laws within? Second, were they not concerned about how this would look to the other nations around them because of how they were literally blaspheming God by disobeying his commands? Well, let's apply that to us. We Christians have a major obligation to live lives that are above reproach so that we do not provide reasons for non-Christians and atheists to blaspheme God. Well, Nehemiah is saying that if those Jews who were lending money really feared God at all, they would obey God's commandments. A proper growing fear of the Lord prompts correct actions and words. Instead, they didn't fear God. They had no qualms about creating financial hardships for fellow Jews through high interest rates. No problem at all doing that. Let's look and remind ourselves of what Solomon says, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's it. Right there. That's the whole duty of Christians, of in fact, every man, every person on the earth, but Christians especially, in a nutshell. First, we must learn to fear God. Without a healthy, profound, reverential awe, respect, fear for God, we will not do the right things from our hearts. In fact, too often, we will not even do the right thing, period, because the motivation is lacking. Fear of God provides the motivation. God wants us to keep His commandments. He has provided the ability to do so by implanting fear within us as part of the new covenant, Jeremiah 32. Without this inner fear, we will not do what we are supposed to do. We need to recognize that God has put this fear in us, and we need to take steps to cultivate that fear on a daily basis. Now, as I've stated before, fearing God has nothing to do with fearing His judgment or the pouring out of His wrath on authentic Christians. Fearing God has a great deal to do with our unwavering reverential respect and awe of Him. So we actually yearn to do what is right from our hearts, in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. I don't believe Jesus was talking about homeless people and our alleged quote-unquote need to supply for them in general. Certainly, if we are able, we should give. But for me personally, I believe it is often far better to give directly to a shelter or a soup kitchen because those organizations are equipped to find out who is in real need and who is faking it. I'd rather donate my money and goods to those organizations. My point is simple, and I'm sure you see it. First, just because a person asks for help does not mean that they actually need it, and it can be very difficult for us to know. Second, if you do choose to give, lend money or goods to a fellow Christian, be sure to do so without attaching interest or expectations. If it comes down to it and they can't pay you back, let it go. Forgive the debt. That's what the Lord would do. Jesus was not issuing a blank check telling us to give everyone who asks whatever they need. I had an atheist come up to me one time and try that, stating that if I didn't give him $500, $500, it was quote-unquote proof to him that I was not really a Christian because I was not obeying Jesus. And he quoted that verse that I quoted at the top of this audio. I took the time to explain to him that first, I didn't have an extra $500 to give him, and if I did, I would be robbing my own family to give to him. And I told him what the Apostle Paul said about those who do not provide for their own families, and they are worse than infidels, 1 Timothy 5:8. I asked him how I could put him ahead of my family. And of course, he had no response, just smiled. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding, Proverbs 9:10. It all begins, and I'm going to say this over and over again. You're going to hear this a lot in upcoming audios and articles. It doesn't matter what the subject is, because it all comes back to this. It begins with fearing the Lord. We grow wisdom and knowledge of the holy through that fear. We gain greater insight and understanding, because not only do we fear the Lord, but because of that fear, we more naturally live for Him as an outgrowth of that fear. Cultivate that fear. Cultivate that fear through prayer, through reading His Word, through memorizing Scripture, through meditating on the Scripture you've memorized. Let God work in you through His Holy Spirit to create greater fear of the Lord. Thanks for joining me today, and I pray that until we meet again, the Lord will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.